for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday afternoon, December the 29th, 2008. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on soul ties.
Anyway, I need that little switcher. I've had two things on my heart, and they're, each of them are too long of a message, so I just want to touch on a fainting spirit. A fainting spirit is a spirit that you're just having a happy day till you have a problem, and then you just take a nosedive. Can anybody identify with that? God has a throne of grace we can go to, and at the throne of grace we get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. The reason we don't go to the throne of grace is because we have judged God like we've judged our mother and father. God is not like your mother and father. He's perfect. If your mother and father didn't love you, you don't think God loves you. If you had to take care of your mom and dad, and you had to be the mommy and the daddy, the lie is that you still have to take care of the world, and you have to take care of God too. And that puts you in a role of rebellion. If your mother and father wouldn't forgive you, then you don't think God will forgive you. And so if your mother and daddy were liars, it's hard for you to believe God's word. One of the roots of prayerlessness is your mom and dad never talking to you. You don't think God wants to talk to you. And so God says, come unto me. Did you find it? It's not. Anyway, God, you pull up the potter's wheel, how you see God. You see that one? Are you on the PowerPoint? Oh, well, Jesus didn't have a PowerPoint. We'll give it one more minute. Anyway, however you see God, however you saw your mother and father, you see God in all authority that way. If your mother and father were liars, then you unconsciously believe God's a liar. You know what God's word says, that he's truth. But if your mother and father lied to you, then you receive a lie that God in all authority lies. And that sets you up, if you make a judgment and you don't forgive them by sundown, that sets you up constantly to be in the presence of lying authorities. Because of the law of sowing and reaping. Did you find it, Ralph? Well, hallelujah, glory to God. Anyway, the reason you don't go to God is because of how you have perceived your mother and father. And the scriptural basis for that is Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, we all had earthly fathers and we respected them. How much more God wants to discipline you, and if you don't let him discipline you, you're illegitimate. Carla taught on illegitimate. She taught on the curse of the bastard. But God says if you as a Christian do not let him discipline you and correct you, you're a bastard in his eyes. That's another root to the bastard spirit. And Hebrews chapter 12 says that when God disciplines you, don't faint, don't give up, and don't quit. And don't bail out. A person with a fainting spirit won't go to God because they perceive God the way they perceive their mother and father. And it says in Hebrews 12, it says, if you're without discipline, which all have become partakers, you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. If you could respect your earthly father, that means you respected him. Or them. But if you couldn't respect them, it means that they confounded you, caused you to be mixed up and feel damned and uneasy and be mixed up about God. It says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The purer your heart is, the more able you are to see God in his true character. Proverbs 30 says, the eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother shall be plucked out by the ravens of the valley. When you make a judgment on your mother and father, you're blinded in those areas. Those areas are the areas where you have logs in your eyes. And those are the areas of the judgments that you make on your mother and father. the judgments that you make that you let the sun go down on. And so many of you want to come to God, but you see God the way you saw your earthly parent. If your earthly parent was angry and raging, and then you have a demonic fear of God. A demonic fear of God causes you to run from God instead of running to His throne of grace. At His throne of grace, the Bible says the humble get grace. At His throne of grace, you get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. If you don't go to God, just say you go through a trial, well, you don't think you can go to God, well, you faint, give up, quit, and bail out. If you're married, you want a divorce. And that's the fainting spirit. In verse 3, it says, we consider Him who's endured such hostility by sinners against Himself so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. It means to become weakened and faint in the mind. You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. And before that, it tells you to lay aside the sin that so easily besets you. That's the one you commit the most. It says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. In other words, when you go through a trial, you consider Jesus who has shed blood and you have not shed any blood and you're striving against not committing that sin. I took my little grandson to Chili's, and they had this delicious dessert called a chocolate muffin. And the Lord told me that I could only have 3 bites of it. And he was eating it. And I said, oh, David, my flesh is suffering. And so he said, well, Grandmother, if I wasn't eating this, my flesh would be suffering too. Anyway, what God is saying is of the sin that so easily besets you, you haven't shed any blood in trying not to commit that sin and to consider Jesus. In other words, He wants us to die to our flesh. It says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And that means that He cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes. And if you don't let God do that, you don't get sanctified, and the Bible says without sanctification or without holiness, no man will see God. So you have to deal with your issues. Oh, hallelujah. Is that on the potter's wheel? And so God says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. And those two clay figures are trying to decide if they're going to yield to the potter. Notice one's got more junk than the other. One ball of clay has more than the other. The one that's on the potter's wheel, the potter does all the work. He takes the junk out. He turns the potter's wheel. He adds water to make the clay pliable. He fires it. He shapes it. He fashions it. And God judges on the heart, and man judges on the outward appearance. This guy here looks the best, but he's the illegitimate one without the discipline. And so when we come to God, He does the rest. All the clay does is rest on the potter's wheel. And that's a picture of letting God control you, giving up your life. Now, if you were afraid of your earthly parents, then you're afraid of God. If you grew up being performance-oriented, that you were only loved based on what you did and your performance, then the minute you get saved, you think it's your job to turn the potter's wheel, and that's legalism. You see that? So many people say, well, when you talk about obedience, they're saying that's legalism. It's just the opposite. This clay is in disobedience. He's in rebellion. He's trying to do right because he's received a lie that he has to perform for God, that he has to do it himself. And I had some people share with me how fearful they are of the days ahead, of what's coming. And these are mostly the people that grew up having to be the mommy and daddy. They had to do everything themselves, and now this trauma and the tribulation is coming to the world, and they're scared because they don't know how to help themselves. But you see, God does not want you in control. He wants you to let Him control. So this is a picture of legalism. This is a picture of a person who will not let go of his idol. You can capture little monkeys in certain parts of the country by putting a banana in a cage. And the little monkey reaches in and he grabs the banana, and his greed for that banana, he won't let go, and so he gets captured. And the Bible says that you're held by the cords of your sin. And you know, so many times in deliverance, If you don't deal with root issues, you will not get delivered. You've got to deal with spiritual roots, and then you get free in a minute or two, when the minute you forgive and you find out where the doorway was. You find out where the demons entered, you repent, you forgive, and close the door, and you won't ever be bothered with that demon again. And so we need to look for root. And so this one is in rebellion, obviously. This one here grew up with maybe a mother and daddy. He was terrified of his daddy and mother. Maybe they were molesters. I want to go to God, but I'm afraid you'll hurt me. You see, you have to get through these issues before you can ever go and live an overcoming life, is to deal with mother-daddy issues. This one here thinks he has to get everything perfect before he can come. And that used to be me. If I spent an hour or two with the Lord, I spent an hour and 45 minutes confessing sins I'd already confessed. Have you ever done that? You spend all your time confessing sins. The Bible says God separates your sin as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. You can fly from north to south and get there, but you can fly from east to west and never get there. And so, then I had a preacher say, well, just confess your sins once, and if it comes up again, it's the devil bringing it up. And since then, I just try to live my life. The minute I sin, I try to repent, so I'm prayed up and repented up when I pray, because I pray all the time. Some of you think you have to beat yourself up before you can go to God. Maybe some of you are mad at yourself for the way you've behaved. Guess what? God uses even the evil. If you turn to Him, He'll even use it for good. Sometimes you have to fail to learn you're not as smart as you thought you were. Right? My experience. Some of you want to go to God, but you got to clean yourself up, you think. You see, all of this is rebellion. This is legalism. Some of you say, no way, God, I don't like what you're doing. I don't want to be a plain old servant tray. I want to be a fancy Grecian boss, or whatever you say that. I don't like what you're doing. So you jump out. Some of you just will say, I'm out of here. Can I tell you, wherever you go, you got to take yourself. Your reaping will follow you. So don't think a divorce is the solution. Don't think another set of circumstances is the solution. Because wherever you go, you've got to take yourself, and your reaping follows you. And if you don't deal with it now, you'll get a worse turkey down the road. So it's better to work out, God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, this is a picture of abiding in Christ. And the Bible says you'll produce much fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And it's His character being produced in you. It's not you being love, joy, peace. It's His personality. Someone, I think it was Charles, said something, if you could restore or capture the image of Christ. Can you say that again? That's right. You see, when I'm here, I'm dead to me. When I'm yielded, I've given up control of my life, and 1 John 3:6 says, whoever abides in Him does not sin. The only time that I'm not sinning is when I'm yielded to Him. And this is how I'm holy, as He's holy, perfect as He's perfect, with all my junk, because God looks at my heart. He doesn't look at the mess. Because it's His job to take the mess out when I yield. You see, that if I'm not on the potter's wheel, that's legalism. And abiding in Christ means to obey. I like to say, yield, surrender, give up control. If I say obey, immediately you think, I have to do something here. And you do something, but it's like I have to do it myself. But I like to just say, surrender, give up, and the rest is God. The potter does everything except yield. That's your job. And it's God's job to do the rest. So what I want you to do is to stand up. I want to say this too. Some of you think when you hear a strong word of repentance, God's going to say, Clay, you're so bad, chunk you. But in the Old Testament, God will not take a sacrifice that was defective or blind or lame. Well, I've got a problem. I'm defective, blind, and lame. And so are you. And when you get on the altar, when you get on God's altar, that's your part. But then the blood that spills out is the precious, perfect blood of Jesus, and it covers you. And God is the one that takes out your junk. And that's how you work out your salvation. You fall off, you get back on. You fall off, you get back on. And you'll fall off less and less and less and less as you learn to walk in Him. So real quickly, I want you to stand up. And I want you to think about the negative characteristics of your mother and father. You can think about the good things about them later, okay? And I want you to forgive. Instead of saying, I forgive them for all of these things, I want you to say, I forgive them for being a slob. I forgive them for being an alcoholic. I forgive them for lying. I forgive them for not loving me. I forgive them for being rich and working all the time and leaving me. I forgive them for leaving me with babysitters. I forgive them for fighting all the time. I forgive them that I had to be the mama. I had to be the daddy. And when you get through, then sit down and we're going to get rid of these lies about God so you can remove. Let me just share this real quick. Well, not on there. Okay, just go ahead and give me the next one, but don't put it up yet. I'm soul tied. Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to forgive my mother and father for everything negative about them. And Lord, you show me. I'm not wanting to judge them because I have judged them already. I want to forgive them, and I want to see what I need to forgive them for. And Lord, I've been a fainter. I've wanted to give up and quit every time I have a problem. Or I want a divorce. I want to bail out. God, I want the truth that makes me free. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for everything you've shown me about them. Lord, I didn't know I could go to you. And I let the sun go down on my anger and dishonored my mother and father. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for not dealing with issues by sundown. And thank you now, Lord, in my circumstances now, you're giving me another chance to work out my salvation with fear and trembling to correct those things that was not corrected growing up. Forgive me for fainting, giving up, wanting to quit, wanting to bail out, wanting to run. Forgive me for trying to turn the potter's wheel. Forgive me for being afraid of you because I was afraid of my mother and father. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for all the things you've shown me. And Lord, I break the judgments I made on my mother and father. And Lord, when I didn't deal with my issues by sundown, I turned to promises I made myself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. And Lord, because of the law of sowing and reaping, and because I've been trained up in the way I should not go, I've not been departing from it. And so, Lord, I truly forgive. And I come boldly now to your throne of grace. Forgive me for believing a lie about you, that you're just like my mother and father. Lord, you're not. And Lord, I just want to run and jump in your lap to know how much you love me. And I forgive me for thinking I have to be holy myself. All you expect me to do is stay yielded, and holiness is imparted to me as I give up control of my life. And I thank you, Lord. Forgive me for legalism. Forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for refusing to repent, refusing to let go. God, I've wanted to come to you, but I didn't know how. And so I come to you now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We break soul ties with mom and dad. We cut and sever every cord of control, linking our souls to theirs. We call back our soul and spirit from them. And you know, you have a human spirit. Did you know that? I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them in Jesus' name. And we just break the power of all those logs in our eyes and all those judgments. You see, Jesus said before we can correct someone else's mistakes, we got to first get the log out of our eye. And that log, it says, then you can see clearly how to get the log out of your brother's eye. You see, you were blinded when you judged your mother and father. And in most of our problems are rooted in unresolved childhood issues. So praise the Lord. So we come against the fainting spirit, the spirit of giving up, quit, the spirit of divorce, the spirit of alienation. the lie, every lying spirit that God's just like their mother and father, get out now in Jesus' name. Move in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you. How many of you felt a release when you just, you know, when you forgive, you'll get released. That's deliverance. James 4:7. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. That's all deliverance is. Amen? And my son said, Mom, why do you call it deliverance? Why don't you just call it repentance? I said, well, I don't know. That's what I've been doing. Okay, I want to share about soul ties. A soul tie is a connection in the spirit where you're connected to another person. You cannot see a soul tie with the physical eyes. But through soul ties, you can have the familiar spirits. You can have soul ties with thousands of people. Wherever the Word of God is violated, you open yourself up to an ungodly soul tie. Through soul ties, you can have the diseases of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can have the mental problems that whoever you have a soul tie with. You can have the addictions of whoever you have a soul tie with. In fact, through a soul tie, you get a part of the person you have a soul tie with, and they get a part of you. Someone, and I forgot who it was, talked about being in a fight and having their finger out like this. And the finger's still sore. You know why? Because of a soul tie. You break that soul tie, and your finger will be healed instantly. Because it's like if somebody punches you in the stomach and you don't forgive them by sundown, years later you're looking for a reason, a medical reason for why your stomach hurts. It's like their fist is still in your stomach. There was a lady's back healed at the seminar, and I have this happen all the time. She had to carry everyone, and I'm not making fun. If you're out there listening, I'm not trying to single you out or embarrass you or anything, but I just want to give an illustration. But she had been carrying her mother and father her whole life. She was trained up to carry everybody. Well, that's a burden on your back. That's many, many back problems are rooted in having a burden that you can't see, but you can feel. How many of you can feel a burden on your back? I know a lady that when she forgave her mother and father for being trained up to have to carry them on her back, God healed her back. Yes, I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday. Because you can have like if somebody hurts your arm or twists your arm, years later you're looking for a reason why your arm's still sore. It's because their hands are still on you. I was at one seminar and I shared about a lady who had been at another seminar. She was bent over. She was in such excruciating pain, her husband said on the first night, I don't think she could even come. I said, well, let her come tomorrow, and even if she has to lay on the floor. Well, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge when I was teaching that when she just said something, and I just knew that, I knew that God was going to heal her. And what had happened is her mother used to beat her, and she was angry at her mother. She let the sun go down on her anger. And when she forgave her mother, God totally healed her back. And this had been years. And then she said her finger, her hands. And what had happened with her hands, she was bitter toward YWAM for hurting her. And when she forgave YWAM, the pain left her hands. You see, the Bible says remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Well, vexation means anger, it means grief, it means provocation, it means idolatry, it means hurt, it means fretfulness, it means provocation, anger. And you know, we can have things in our body that maybe we're not even feeling pain, but they're grieving us. I know I've had some skin cancers that are leaving in the name of Jesus. And even though I feel no pain with them, it's been grievous and vexing to me knowing they're there. And so God is saying, that's been painful to me knowing it's there even though I don't feel any physical pain. And so I know that when I find the last spiritual root to that, and I believe it's from being judgmental, I think I've judged everybody in the whole world. And I'm praying lately, I'm saying, God, show me how not to judge. Because that's come down on me generationally. And so now when I have a thought to judge, I immediately start praying for that person. And I'm just telling the devil, if you put a judgmental thought in my mind anymore, they're going to get prayer and you're not going to like it. Amen? Because I want to please God, and I know most of you here do too. And so if you have a thought of something and you just stuff it, you've automatically made a judgment. But if you pray for that person, you know, Bill Gothard says a critical spirit is just a misguided gift of discernment. That if you take what you see and you make it a matter of prayer, it's not that you don't see things, but take those things you see and pray for that person. And so that's what I'm trying to retrain myself to do. And I believe that's the root to the skin cancers. And I'm not completely delivered yet, but I'm on my way. And so there's a spiritual root. There's a reason why everything happens. There's a reason. There's a lesson in everything you go through. You know, I don't even go around thinking I got attacked by the devil. I say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? Because the Bible says, if my ways please the Lord, He makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. And so I've had a lot of close calls, and sometimes these close calls that God, like the other day, I almost fell off of a stool backwards. I could have broke my back and probably had to kill myself. And I was able to grab the top of the cabinet, and the stool was real wobbly, and it had a high back, and it was going back like this, and I would have went right over the top. And I mean, all day long, I was so grateful. It was like God showed me His favor by protecting me. There was a lesson in that, and a lesson not to do it again. And so, there's a lesson in everything you go through. But if I had another lady I prayed for, who she had arthritis in her back and in her arms, and she said, my husband always makes me carry heavy loads. So that told me that she was trained up to carry heavy loads. I said, well, what about your mother and dad? She said, they always put heavy loads on me as a little girl. And when I led her to the doorway, the issue wasn't her husband. He was just carrying out the reaping of judging her mother and father. And when she forgave her mother and her father, God totally healed her back. And I've seen more people heal through breaking soul ties than any other thing. But it's like whoever hurts you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, they have left their mark or their imprint on you through unforgiveness. Carla and I were in Beaumont, and I think you were at the seminar in Beaumont, when a lady came up and her leg, she walked just like this. And I'm not making fun of her because I don't want my leg to do that. Anyway, she walked with a stiff leg. And what had happened is I said, when did this start? She said, it started in high school when I fell and a bunch of girls laughed at me. See, she let the sun go down on her anger. And then her mother said, and you remember that old crippled man that you judged? And she said, yes. And she repented and God healed her leg. Now, because you become like who you judge. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? It is for me. And so a soul tie, I'll just share this. There was a little boy that came up to me, and he played football. He was like 14 or 15, and he had back problems. And I said, he said, my whole football team have back problems. I said, well, how do you feel about him? And he would just kind of stood there. And his mother stepped up, and she said, he's mad at every one of them. And when he forgave them, his back was totally healed. Another great big University of Texas football player was at one of my seminars, and he had headaches. And he was a big old, I guess the ones that tackle and whatever. I said, what's wrong with your head? You've used it as an instrument. And, you know, when you play football, they want you to be mean and bad and get angry and kill people. So if you play, you better break soul ties. Anyway, when he broke soul ties, God healed his head. And I said, now if you're going to play, you better do that every day, and you better not let the sun go down on your anger, because you're giving a foothold to the enemy. And his head was healed. I've seen so many people healed. But a soul tie is an unholy alliance or perverse relationship. It's the joining or knitting together of the bonds of a relationship. In other words, through a soul tie, you get part of them and they get part of you. Godly soul ties occur when like-minded believers are together in the Lord, friends, marriages, pastors, marriage partners, believers to pastors, children, parents. There's godly soul ties. There are good soul ties and there are evil soul ties. And Jonathan and David were an example of a godly soul tie. Godly soul ties are based upon the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 says, the royal law. These soul ties are approved by God. They represent the bonding of persons together through the bonds of agape love. Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts may be knit together in love, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. I remember there used to be a girl in our ministry, and she came out of Satanism, and she had been off of drugs for 10 years. And every time somebody would come to our farm that had a drug problem, she'd start craving drugs. And what the Lord showed us is that she had soul ties with the people that she had taken drugs with, and when she broke those soul ties, she never craved drugs again. Because she was carrying the familiar spirits and the demons of the people that she had soul ties with. My son died of AIDS. And had we known this, or had he been stronger, I don't know. But I didn't know this then. But if he had sex with 500 men, and 500 or 400 or 300 of them had AIDS, then he would have had to break soul ties with all of the different men that he had had sex with, because through the soul ties he was carrying the disease of whoever infected him. A soul tie involves the joining of a personality, a person's mind, will, emotions, and their human spirit. Go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 25. I want you to see that it's a curse. There is a curse. Deuteronomy 28, well, first read 15, says, "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." And then in verse 25, it says, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, and you're going to flee seven ways." Well, how could a person flee seven ways? Through being scattered is one way, but through soul ties. And then in verse 64, it says, "Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which you nor your fathers have known." Now, in the world today, in psychology, they call that, in extreme cases, multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder. It's where a person has multiple personalities. And if you've ever dealt with anyone in the occult, through soul ties, and this is how I learned this, part of this, is that this girl that came out of Satanism, we'd just be having a happy day and doing fine, and all of a sudden she'd say, "Lady, I don't know you." I say, "Yes, you do know me. You call me 14 times a day. You do know me. Lady, I don't know you." And see, because I've never known anything about the occult, because I didn't come out of the occult, or my family don't even believe in it. I mean, they don't even believe the devil can do anything. And he can't, if you're surrendered to the Lord. He can't touch. Satan cannot touch a surrendered Christian unless God allows him. And if God allows it, He's got a purpose for allowing it. It encourages me that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and wherever I'm put, I'm ordered. And that's good news. But one day, I took her home for me at lunch, and a demon, I didn't know then it was a demon, but I finally got the message. "Lady, I don't know you. Why do you call me so-and-so? My name is Michelle." I said, "Your name is Michelle. Your name is blah, blah." And then it occurred to me that was not my friend. And how that spirit got in her was through a soul tie with a person in the occult, that they made her have sex with this person, then they switched out the blood, And then they made her kill this person. And so this Michelle was manifesting in her. And see, this is the, you know, talking about multiple personalities. What it is, it's the familiar necromancy spirits and the familiar spirits of whoever they have a soul tie with. Or we'd be driving along, and I had to lead her in repentance to get rid of all of that before I could cast out Michelle. I would be driving down the road with her, and all of a sudden, she would switch like a multiple personality. It's like switching channels on the TV. She would switch to something else. Lady, I don't know you, and she'd be trying to jump out of the car, and I'd be holding her driving. And then I would bind whatever was manifesting, and I would call her back, and then when the demon takes over, they check out. I'd call her back and say, ask the Holy Spirit how that got there. And then the Holy Spirit would show us, I'd lead her to forgive and break soul ties, and then kick out that personality and be gone forever. And had hundreds of demonic personalities through soul ties. And that's an extreme case. But where whoever you've sinned with or who sinned against you, you have a soul tie with them. If you have violated the Word of God in any way, you need to break soul ties with whoever you have violated the Word of God. That explains why, for example, when kids, maybe they're sheltered and protected and they go to public school and they start hanging with the wrong kids through soul ties, all of a sudden they want to start doing the same things that their friends do. Deliverer rather than the Creator, and so God gives them over to reprobate mind. And I believe that's one of the roots to Alzheimer's. If there's ever a time in each place where you just settle back and say, I'm free, I'm delivered, every day is a day of deliverance for me. I mean, every day I'm looking for answers. Every day I'm seeking in the Word of God. When I read the Bible, I repent over it. And that's a great deliverance. I get delivered every day of something because either me or my forefathers have violated every scripture in here. And if you want a huge deliverance, just when you read the Bible, just start repenting. Whether you think you're guilty or not, start repenting. And within 10 minutes, I'm blowing my nose and tears are running down my cheeks. And that's what it means to be washed with water and the Word. And if you don't know the Word in the days you're living in, you better get in the Word because there's a time coming, maybe soon, that the only word you're going to have is what you've stored in your heart. So you need to hide God's Word in your heart. So if you don't have a Bible, you can just quote the Word to one another, and to yourself especially. Matthew 12, Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. Now, to scatter means disperse, to drive off, to scatter in different directions, to distribute evenly throughout a medium, to move in different directions, to cause to separate, to break up, to dissipate, to shatter, to strew, to scatter, to break into pieces, to smash, to burst, to become reduced to pieces or components. It means to break apart, divide, chop up, dice, splinter, disunite. So Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. And the curse is, if you're disobedient to the voice of God and His commandments, you get scattered. And your enemy will come against you one way, and you're going to flee seven ways. And how it works out is through soul ties. But the good news is that you can take the sword of the Spirit through repentance and break those soul ties. Soul ties affect us in a negative way or a positive way. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one member suffer, we all suffer. If one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And if a person, for example, has a demonic soul tie, they can be controlled 20 years from now and not even see whoever they have a soul tie with by the demons that are working in them. You can have soul ties through fornication, that's having sex outside of marriage. You know, if you do a word study on the wrath of God, you'll see that sexual sin and idolatry are the two things that make God the most angry. And you know, you may not bow down to a Buddha, but what you bow down to is somebody's got to love me. I've got to have a relationship. I've got to have somebody talk to me. I've got to be valued. I've got to have money. I've got to do what I want to do, et cetera, et cetera. I've got to have a house. I've got to have a maid. I have to have a job. You know, we can make an idol out of anything. And these idols come in when we as children let the sun go down on our anger. We turn to whatever we promise ourselves becomes the God we trust in. You can have soul ties. I remember at one seminar there was a girl that had been into sexual sin. She was in college and she had warts on her face. And I said, "Do you have a boyfriend?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Does he have warts?" And she said, "Yes." And so I led her in repentance. The warts didn't disappear immediately, but she felt a release. And then I saw her mother about 6 months later, and I didn't tell her mother any details about the girl, but I said, "Does your daughter still have warts?" And she said, "Oh no, they're gone." You see, there's an impartation of demonic stuff. You know, the Bible says that Moses laid hands on Joshua and appointed to him wisdom. So there can be good things imparted, but they can be negative things imparted. Through adultery, you can get soul ties to perverted family ties when a family member is still trying to control you when you've left home and you're still being controlled by a family member. You can have soul ties through incest, and when Charles taught on the curse that was on Canaan, probably all of us have incest in our bloodline. And I, since he taught that, I have broke the curse of Canaan off my bloodline. And also there's a curse of Lot's, was it the Ammonites? The Ammonites and the Moabites. Because they got Lot's daughters incested him. And so we need to break those curses off our bloodline. I mean, I found out that it's a wonder I even have a brain. I'm serious. I found out that my my grandfather's daddy and mother were first or second cousins. And you know, people that are born from incestuous unions sometimes are not all theirs. Thank God that he spared me. God have mercy. Maybe it's because I repent all the time. Through molestations or through being raped. I know a girl, I said, "Did your daddy molest you?" And she said, "No, but I knew he wanted to." You see, that's spiritual molestation. That's lust, because Jesus said, if you've lusted, you've committed adultery in your heart. Through satanic rituals, you can get sold. In fact, that's the purpose of satanic control, is to bond somebody to someone, to be tortured, to bond them through sex, or through murder, or through hurt, to enrage a little child, so get them so angry they can hold them through that soul tie. You see, without forgiveness, you will never be delivered. You'll never be saved. You have got to, in fact, you'll never be healed. If you won't get delivered, you have to start forgiving people that hurt you. And forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a choice. Like you choose to take a bath, you choose to forgive, you choose to brush your teeth. You don't have to feel like it, you don't even have to want to, but you do it because you love God more than you love that spirit of unforgiveness. You can have soul ties through bestiality. How many of you see people who look just like their animals? Right? The lady that used to do my nails, they slept with their Chihuahua dog for 18 years. I can't imagine sleeping with a dog. But if you do, forgive me. I sell chow puppies, but I couldn't imagine. I don't even want them on my porch. But I love them and take care of them. But they slept with their Chihuahua dog for 18 years, and that dog had a bleeding esophagus, and so did the man of the house. You've seen people that look like they're animals, haven't you? Oh, God, please don't let me. Please spare me, Lord. I break soul ties. I do break soul ties with my dogs, believe it or not. Bestiality is when you let an animal do anything inappropriate, touch you in some way that's inappropriate, or you touch an animal that way. That's bestiality. Soul ties with animals. There was a girl at one of my seminars who had her ankle was all braced up. And I asked her what happened to her, and she said that she started sobbing. She said, "When I was 12 years old, my mother married this man, and he was financially in debt, and she said, I had horses. And she said, I had this one horse," and she said it, and she was just sobbing, and she said, "I had to get rid of my horse." And I said, he didn't happen to have a bad leg, did he? And he did, on the very same side she did. When she forgave her mother and her stepfather, her leg was instantly healed. I know another man who would get Charlie horses in his legs, and God showed him, when I taught this message, showed him that when he was growing up, he had a horse that had a Charlie horse, and however they broke Charlie horses, I don't know for sure if this is right, but I got the impression that somehow they hit it with some kind of sharp instrument or some kind of blunt. The Charlie horse, they hit it to break it, and he grieved over that horse, and when he broke soul ties with that horse that had the Charlie horse, he didn't have Charlie horses anymore. And this has happened in seminars that I've taught where I've seen so many people healed. You can have soul ties with the dead, touching the dead, the graves of the dead, being in a room, even working in a hospital where people die all the time. There's a spirit of death in that hospital. And when you go in the hospital and you lay on a bed that somebody died in, you've got a soul tie with whoever died in that bed. Because the Bible says that when somebody dies in a bed or in a room, that room is unclean for so many days. And the children of Israel were not allowed to touch the dead. If they did, they had to go through ceremonial cleansing. And, of course, we can through the blood of Jesus. The Bible forbids you to touch the bones of the dead, the graves of the dead. And this may sound a little extreme, even walking on graves. Recently, my daddy died, and I thought, how many people were dead in this room where they had his funeral? And I broke soul ties with every person that had died in that room. Think, well, isn't that a little extreme? Well, you know, if a mechanic gets his hands dirty every day, he's got to get them clean with whatever that kind of stuff you put on your hands to clean your hands. What is it? Yeah, so you may have to get yourself cleaned up every day. The Bible also says that if somebody has an ungodly emission on a bed, that bed is unclean for so many days. Which explains why sometimes you're in a hotel room and you have nightmares or perverted dreams all night, because of the perversion that's gone on in that hotel room. Yes, when I go into a room, I anoint the bed with oil. I anoint the whole room with oil. I anoint it. I pray over it. I break soul ties, and the peace of God comes in that room. You can immediately feel the difference. And I learned this through, I was teaching a seminar in Arlington, and they had this hotel reserved for me, and the room was on the third floor. They didn't have an elevator. And they didn't have they just had stairs. Well, I had so much luggage, there's no way I could carry all that up the stairs. And so I said, well, don't you have anything on the first floor? And they said, well, we have one handicap room. And I slept in that handicap room, and the next day I could hardly get out of bed. It took me 10 minutes to get the demons off me from sleeping in that bed. And I said, well, now, Lord, why a curse without a cause cannot lie? Why did you allow that? And the Lord showed me that I had a lady in my church that I judged as being a attention getter, and she was in a walker. And the Lord let me feel for 15 minutes what that poor lady felt. And that was the legal right for that thing to get on me. And so when you go into a hotel room, you need to cleanse it. You can have soul ties with the dead. Demons won't live in a live body. They'll transfer to the child most like them. Since my daddy died and I was the one most like him and I knew about breaking soul ties, I've had more little things wrong with me since my daddy died. And I'm getting them off in Jesus' name. I didn't have the eye diagnosis till after my dad died. Anyway, praise God that these things can come off. You can have soul ties through grief. I was in a meeting in Dallas, and this lady said, pray for my children, she said, or my son, he's got a lung problem. And pray for my daughter, she's got a stomach problem. Well, it didn't register. This is when God first showed me about the soul ties with the animals. And she said, and pray for our animals, they always die. She said, we just have all these cats die, and my kids just grieve over these cats. And then I knew what was wrong, because a little child, when the cat died, he made a vow, I'll never let go. And many of you have done that. When you had something you loved die, I'll never let go of you. I'll hold on to you forever. And that vow holds you to a soul tie. And Anyway, I led the little boy in repentance for vowing he'd never let go of that cat and broke soul ties with that cat and whatever was in him instantly. He was instantly healed and something big left him and he turned to his little sister and he said, Julie, that other cat we had a stomach problem. You can have soul ties. Well, let me show you some scriptures and then I'll come back to those. Laying hands on anyone too suddenly. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, don't lay hands on any man too suddenly lest you receive of their sins. Jesus said in Luke 6:40, whoever you let teach you. After a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. It's what it says, what Jesus said in Luke 6:40. So if you're sitting under a perverted teacher, guess what? You're going to get perverted. Joining yourself with a harlot. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. It says, or do you not know, verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Now, a harlot's not only a prostitute, but it's a person that calls himself a Christian, and they're committing spiritual adultery against their bridegroom, Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom. We're going to be the bride of Christ. And if our heart goes after another lover, we're spiritual harlots, spiritual adulterers. It says, may it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And I tell you, I'm one spirit with Christ. But wherever I have a breach in my heart, wherever, and we all have issues I'm prayed up and confessed of, but I still have issues God wants to show me. And wherever I have an issue where my heart is turned to a false god, I'm joined to a harlot in that area, or the vine of Sodom, and I produce in the flesh, the works of the flesh is being produced in me. Wherever you have an idol, you're going to be connected to the vine of Sodom, and you'll be producing the works of the flesh. That's why God wants you to deal with your issues. Then you can respond with the Holy Spirit, with love, joy, peace. Okay, so, and then joining yourself with unbelievers. Go to 2 Corinthians 6:14. 6:14 says, do not be bound together with unbelievers, which means people without faith and trust, with the added idea of impiety, meaning being wicked or impiety. Piety means holiness, but they're without that. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? You see, the only way light can walk with darkness is if the light compromises with the darkness. Or the darkness compromises with the light. But can I tell you, the darkness never compromises with the light. It's the light that always compromises with the darkness. And two cannot walk together lest they agree. So if I'm trying to walk with darkness, I'm either going to have to agree with the darkness or I'm going to have to take a stand for righteousness. And then we can't walk together. It says, or what harmony has Christ with Belial, which means it's without a yoke, a depth of evil. The worst possible evil is not having a yoke, which is a picture. It indicates a person who's thrown off the yoke of heaven, lawless, rebellious, means worthless, wickedness, the sense of an extremely ungodly individual, also a proper name of Satan, a wicked counselor, an evil power, human or demonic. And then it says, 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from the midst of them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Now, that word in the Greek means anything that was considered ceremonially unclean in the Old Testament. Go, if you will, to Proverbs 13:20. Another way you have soul ties is through walking with ungodly people, evil companions. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm or be destroyed, it says in King James. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to impart truth to every heart. In Jesus' name. Proverbs 11:15 says, "He who is surety for a stranger will surely suffer for it, but he who hates going surety is safe." That's becoming guarantee for someone else's debt, or taking a pledge, giving a pledge in exchange. Another way you are opened up to soul ties is through making idols out of friends, mates, children, family members. It says in Psalms 115 and 135 that those who make idols become like them. I remember this girl that came out of Satanism. Some of the demonic spirits or the multiple personalities, which are just demons, that she had, I'd say, "Where did Lisa get in?" And she'd say, "Oh, I just wanted to be like her." I had a lady come up to me and she said, "Pray for my foot." I said, "What's wrong with it?" She said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, does your mother have a foot problem?" She said, "No." She said, "But my mother-in-law does." I said, "Well, how do you feel about your mother-in-law?" She said, "Oh, I love my mother-in-law." She said, "I wanted to be like," I said, "You want to be like her?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you are." She broke soul ties and her foot was healed just like that. Okay, you can have soul ties through wounding another person's conscience. First Corinthians 8:12. Please go there. Verse 9, "But take care lest this liberty of yours become a stumbling block," which means an obstacle in the way of which a person strikes his foot against. "Beware lest you become," take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. "For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he's weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols?" Now this is just talking about food. If I can violate somebody's conscience through eating food, how much more through sexual abuse, through anger, through rage, through other means? "Or through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined the brother for whose sake Christ died. And thus, by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again, that I might not cause my brother to stumble." So how much more would sexual sin or satanic ritual abuse or being sexually molested by your father or by your mother? This particular girl had been sexually molested by her mother and her father. Her uncles, her aunts had children by them. One child was born through a rape of her brothers, raped her. And one of her children was the product of a rape by her brothers. Now this word, wounded, means to pattern after, to instill a pattern or an imprint. It'd be like if I had a muddy hand and I go put a muddy hand on that screen up there, I have put an image on that hand, on that screen. And so through soul ties, it's like you've let people imprint you with whatever they imprint you with. Sometimes you can take a little girl, a little sparkly little girl that's never been molested, and some hover get a hold of her, and all of a sudden she's acting out things that were done to her. You can have soul ties where you compromise. God does not want you to compromise. He gives you a conscience, and He don't want you to compromise. You don't have to obey. You have to submit to authority as unto the Lord, but you don't have to obey demons. It says, "Don't associate the wicked, associate with adulterers." You can have soul ties through letting someone else control you, because you're either being conformed into the image of Christ or you're being conformed into the image of whoever controls you. God wants you to be conformed into His image. It says in Romans 8, "Everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed into the image of His Son." So when you go through a trial and you go to God with it and you don't give up, quit, and faint, and bail out, you go to God and you deal with it His way, you get conformed into His image. If you don't deal with it His way, you come short of the grace of God, and you get conformed in the image of the person who hurt you. You can have soul ties through associating with an angry person. Do not associate with an angry man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man. lest you become like him. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul said, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be a sexually immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. I remember when I was ministering to this girl who came out of Satanism, it was almost like I was the only human that ever really loved her, and it was like I was kind of like a Linus blanket to her. It shouldn't have been that way, but, you know, you learn through what you go through. And I went to Australia to a healing school, and I learned that you are bonded to whoever you eat with. And so when you eat with somebody and you compromise, you're bonded to them. When I came back, she was so far in left field, she didn't even know what town she was in. And what had happened, it took me 2 weeks to get her back to herself, because some Satanists came to her and said, we'll watch your back. Your name's out on the street, and we'll watch your back. Well, she got fearful, and so she went to a hotel room with them, and they showed an Alzheimer video, and they ate popcorn while they showed that, and that was the root to that. And when we dealt with that, God got rid of that Alzheimer spirit that came in. And that's why you need to be careful eating in front of the TV. Or, you know, you're a spiritual garden, and you're either letting the seeds of God's Word be planted in you, or you're planting something else. And if you go to see demonic, fearful movies, guess what? That's planting seeds down in your heart. And that's why you're going to have bad, fearful, hysterical, fearful dreams. I used to excuse that this is all my husband and I did together, because we didn't seem to have a whole lot in common. But anyway, I thought, well, we can watch TV. They like to watch Clint Eastwood movies and Charles Bronson. And I used to have a terrible time getting in strife, because I was planting, through those movies, I was planting seeds of strife down in my heart. And whatever's planted is going to produce a crop of something. If it's good planting, it'll produce something good. If it's evil, it'll produce something evil. And that's one reason, since 1992, I pretty much listened to Proverbs. Somebody said Proverbs was, I think Chris said it was his favorite book. It's my favorite, but I've been listening to Proverbs since 1992, and I've listened to a few other things, but I play Proverbs as loud as I can play it at night, and I've done that since 1992. And I really believe that has done so much for my life, is planting God's Word down in my heart. Because the seeds of God's Word, you may not even know what you hear. You know, and you say, well, how can you sleep when the Bible's playing? Well, you know how you get sleepy when you start reading the Bible. It makes you sleep. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. I have a friend that wants to listen to the Word so bad. Her husband is ho-hum God. And she wants to listen so bad that she sleeps with a little earplug with the Word of God when she sleeps. So that's an idea if your mate does not want to listen to it. You can have soul ties through piercing your ears. And I had my ears pierced before I even knew that. So I never let it grow. I never let them grow back up. But I broke soul ties with who pierced my ears. If you've tattooed your body, you have soul ties with the people who tattooed you, and you need to break soul ties over every tattoo on your body, because demons were imparted to you when you got those tattoos. You can have soul ties through pornography, because you look and you look with lust, and you've committed adultery. And Satanists make the pornography, and they put curses on the pornography, and they put hooks in you. They speak curses over the pornography to hold you in bondage. And you can go to the deepest sewer of the world through looking at pornography. And you have the familiar spirits, the necromancy spirits of those people in those pornographic scenes. And much pornography is made by people, made by Satanists who make this pornography. And many of those people are drugged up and held captive by people that have stolen them and brought them into the occult, especially children's pornography. Their operation is the kids they steal down here in the south, they ship north someplace, and the ones that are up north, they ship south, down south. They drug them up and say, you'll never see your mama, never see your daddy. You know that girl that disappeared in Aruba? I know some person kidnapped her to be a sex slave. And I just know that. and they dope them up and get them addicted to drugs, and then they can't live without the drugs, or they'll say, you know, they can't even escape from them because they're drug addicts. You can have soul ties through going to the doctor, through doctors, psychiatrists. If you work in the medical profession, you have to continually be breaking soul ties with your patients. I had a lady come up and she said, pray for me, I've developed diabetes. And I didn't know she was a nurse. And so I said something that you become like who you judge. And she came up at break time and she said, that's it, I'm a nurse. And she said, I work with diabetes patients and I've judged every one of them that if they just would eat properly, they wouldn't have diabetes. And she was delivered. And I could just go on and on about how many people that have told me that they, you know, they worked in nursing homes or worked in medical, and all the physical problems that are on them because of their patients. And it's something, if you work in the medical profession, you have to continually be breaking those soul ties every day. And you say, well, why should you have to break soul ties? Well, the Bible says it's sorcery. And so you can have a soul tie. Even the instruments a doctor uses in a gynecologist's office uses the same instruments on a woman that they abort babies with. You have soul ties. Even the demons can attach themselves to their x-ray machines and all the machines they use on you. And you need to break soul ties. And see, if you're not looking to this for the spiritual root to the problem, then you not only have the, you put a band-aid over a spiritual problem. Henry Wright says you've tried to bypass unconsciously the penalty of sin, because sickness is a curse, according to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 26 says a curse without cause cannot light. So if you get sick, there's a cause of the curse. There's a reason why I have had and I'm getting healed eye problems. There's a reason why. It's no use going to the world for the answer. If God tells you to go, go ahead and go. But if you don't look for the spiritual root to it, they can patch you up, they can shift it around, they can move it around, they can sew you up, but the problem will come back. I have a skin cancer on my nose a lady that does facial, she said, you better go to the doctor because I've seen people that the cancer's eating their nose off. Well, fear drove me to a dermatologist that cut a hole in my nose. The cancer was about the size of a pinhead, on a straight pinhead, and he cut a hole in my nose the size of a pinto bean. And I knew from the very beginning he did not get the cancer. And that thing is back. And it has not grown anymore, but it has to go in Jesus' name. And you see, I didn't find the root to it. I let fear run me to the doctor. And I had about 8 stitches in my nose. And that's not the solution. This doctor, the demon, have you ever been around somebody that you can tell their demons just stood up? I mean, every demon in him was reared up when I got on the table, because it was like he didn't have to take a place any bigger than the top of a safety, a pin, straight pin. But it was the size of a pinto bean, and it hadn't been for the Lord. And I knew if I didn't forget, I tell you, it made me so mad. That made me so mad at that doctor. Every time I'd look at myself, I'd have to forgive him all over again. And I told him, I said, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd sue you. But I have forgiven him, but it took a long time for me to forgive him. And I knew that, I mean, I was saying it every day. If I hadn't forgiven him, I tell you, I'd have had a worse mess than I have. And so if you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, to the torturers. And I don't want to be turned over. You can have soul ties with movies you look at, because the movies are planting seeds down in your heart, and you're a spiritual garden, and everything that's planted is going to come up, if it's good or evil. Through selling drugs and selling alcohol, buying drugs, buying alcohol, through drugs, through giving blood, taking blood. I've had people tell me they never had an anger problem because they had a blood transfusion. I know a lady that had a liver transplant, and she was never suicidal till she had the liver transplant, she found that the person whose liver she had committed suicide. I was watching Discovery on Discovery Channel one night, and they were doing a surgery where this lady was getting a body part of somebody part. I got on the tail end of it. And after she got the body part, she began to, all of a sudden, she liked hip-hop dancing. And then she kept having a sensation that something was exploding in her face. And all of a sudden, she liked rap music. So she began to investigate whose body part did she get, and she traced it to an 18-year-old African-American who listened to hip-hop music, rap music, who loved hip-hop dancing, and he shot himself in the face. She was having that same sensation. I shared this at a seminar, and a man came up to me and told a true story of a lady who had a blood transfusion, and the person who gave her blood was murdered, and the lady who got her blood identified the murderer. You know, the Bible says the life is in the blood. There's so much there that I don't understand. You can have soul ties through making vows, through judging, through unforgiveness. When you hold unforgiveness towards somebody, you've got a soul tie with them, and you'll become just like them through bitterness, through empathy, through fantasizing. We were in Beaumont, and were you there when the man's back was healed? This man came up. He was real disappointed that he didn't get any deliverance. And so we started ministering to him at the very end. And he had arthritis in his arm, and he'd had a back problem for about 25 or 30 years. And what had happened is he was drunk, and he and his friend were in a wreck, and his friend was in a coma for 6 months before he died. And he was angry at himself because he was the cause of the wreck. And the friend was in a coma, and he lost a leg, I believe. You were there, weren't you? He lost a leg, and anyway, he would go to that hospital room, and he would stand over his friend who was in a coma, and he'd say to this friend, he would say, you know, I wish I could take your place. You know, I'm so sorry. I wish I could take your place, blah, blah, blah. And I kept getting a word of knowledge. I kept seeing his friend grabbing him by the back. I thought, that's bizarre. That couldn't be true. But I kept seeing that. And finally he said, I feel like something's grabbing me by the back. And I said, brother, this sounds so bizarre, but I'm going to go for it. I keep seeing your friend grabbing you by the back. Have you ever seen these things where people astral project and they're looking down? They're looking down at their body. What happened is he would say these endearing words to his friend. His friend couldn't respond. But when he would go out the door, his friend was reaching out in the spirit and had him by the back. And when he forgave himself and broke soul ties, God healed this man's back and his arm. Anyway, what I want you to do, this is not to scare you. Like, oh, I can't go around anybody anymore. That's demonic too. But it's just to make you aware of some of the problems you have may be rooted in a soul tie and not medically. Or some of your addictions may be rooted in soul ties with people you've sinned with. Say you get drunk and you don't know what you're doing when you're drunk, and you get into a sexual orgy, and you don't even remember what happened. You've got soul ties with the people you had perversion with. If seeds of perversion are planted in you, perversion is trying to come up. So if you'll stand up, and let's ask the Lord to show you who you have a soul tie with. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And you can't break soul ties until you forgive people that you got a soul tie with, until you repent of what you did to get that soul tie. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Who do I have a soul tie with? Lord, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger and letting the sun go down on my sin. Forgive me for disobedience to your voice and to your commandments. Forgive me, Lord, for not having godly soul ties. Lord, forgive me for compromising your word. Forgive me for exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Thank you, Lord, that you said you'll gather me from all the places where I've been scattered if I return to you and keep your commandments. You will gather me. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for everything that I have done with the people you've shown me. And I forgive them for everything they did to me. And forgive me for everything I did to them and with them. Forgive me for piercing my ears, looking at pornography. Forgive me, Lord, for turning to sorcery in the world rather than turning to you. Lord, forgive me for looking at movies that have planted demonic, fearful, ungodly seeds down in my heart. Forgive me for listening to music that does not glorify you. And that includes this so-called Christian rock music that pounds your brain in and they call it worship. I renounce that. That's not worship. That's torment. Lord, I renounce and ask you to forgive me if I have. And even if you've not done it, maybe your forefathers have done it. So just confess it like you've done it. For tattooing my body. God, forgive me for giving drugs and alcohol. Selling drugs and alcohol. Receiving drugs and alcohol. Forgive me for everything I've done under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Lord, forgive. I even renounce the medication doctors have given me, which is sorcery. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for giving blood and taking blood. I break all the vows I've made. Forgive me for judging others, holding unforgiveness, being bitter, empathizing, wanting to be like these people. Fantasizing. Lord, forgive me for fornication, adultery, spiritual adultery. I forgive mothers and fathers for controlling me. Forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for incest. I forgive any person who has incested me or who I've incested, molested or raped me or put me through rituals. And Lord, forgive me if I've done that to anyone else. Forgive me for bestiality, letting animals touch me in an inappropriate way, or me touching animals in an inappropriate way. Forgive me for touching the dead, the bones of the dead, the graves of the dead, and even being in hospital beds where people have died, or in hospital rooms where there is a spirit of death. Cleanse me, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, from all defilement. Forgive me for touching the dead. I renounce the demons that were imparted and transferred to me through touching the dead. God, forgive me for vowing I'd never let go of my animals or my loved ones. Forgive me for laying hands on anyone too suddenly. There was a guy in one of my seminars that his arm was going like this. And he came up for prayer for something else. I said, "What's wrong with your arm?" He said, "Well, ever since this lady laid hands on me and I experienced the Holy Spirit," I said, "Brother, that's not the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make freaks out of his children. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control, and if your arm's going up and you can't control it, that's not self-control." And anyway, he broke soul ties with this lady that had imparted this thing to him, and his arm quit doing that. So, Lord, forgive me for letting people with unholy hands lay hands on me. Forgive me for sitting under teaching that does not conform me to godliness. Forgive me for making vows I'm going to be like somebody or I'm not going to be like somebody. Forgive me for inordinate affection for animals. Forgive me for looking at pornography. Lord, if I've had an abortion, I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to tell my dead baby to please forgive me. Forgive me for murdering my baby or my babies. I've had women tell me that they had this foul odor coming out of them, no matter how many showers they took. And as it turned out, they'd had an abortion, and so the dead baby was not in their womb anymore, but the spirit of that dead baby was still there. And when they broke soul ties, the foul odor left. So, Lord, if I've ever had an abortion or my forefathers had an abortion, I ask you to ask my dead baby or babies to forgive me. And forgive me for talking to the dead. That can bond you to a soul tie. God forbids you to talk to the dead. That's necromancy. But you can say, God, would you please ask my son Todd to forgive me for not being patient with him? Would you please tell my mama I'm so sorry that I was a brat? I just did that a few days ago for the 100th time now. I thought of something else I did. You know, every offense is something that you need to repent of. And it takes the burden. You know, God may not tell them, but it's God's problem. If I'm releasing that to God, He can tell them what He wants. It's taking the burden off of me. Lord, forgive me for associating with adulterers. Forgive me for ungodly companions. Forgive me for not walking with wise men and women so I could be wise. Forgive me for joining myself with unbelievers. Forgive me for making idols out of my friends, out of myself, out of my children, out of other people, out of my parents, out of my mate. Lord, forgive me for compromise, associating with adulterers, being a slanderer, controlling others. Lord, forgive me for eating meals with so-called believers who are sexually immoral, covetous, and idolaters. Forgive me for associating with an angry man and woman in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you've given me authority to bind and loose. And in the name of Jesus, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every ungodly soul tie that you've shown me. I call back and I say it like this, but if you're uncomfortable with saying it like this, I say, I call back my soul and spirit from them, my human spirit, and I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ, and that's taken from Psalms 106, where the children of Israel exchange God's image for an image of an ox, and Romans 1, exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, exchanging. But if you feel better about it, you can say, everything of mine that got on them, I call back, and everything of theirs that got on me, I send back. And I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I just command every demon power out, the familiar spirits, the necromancy spirits, all the demons to leave that came in through those ungodly soul ties. Lord, through forgiveness, I remove vexation from each heart and I put pain out of my body. Come out now in Jesus' name. Familiar spirits, addictions, compulsions, perversions, rebellion, anger, hurt, fear, worry, out in Jesus' name. I command every spirit to leave. I cut every tentacle. I cut the hands off of abusers off of each person in Jesus' name. Lord, cleanse every person from defilement by the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I break off ungodly yokes in the name of Jesus. Yokes of iron I break in the name of Jesus. Yokes of people, control, yokes of control, yokes of bondage, I break now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I break soul ties with every person I've ever had sex with. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now, Lord, I ask you to give them a spiritual shower and cleanse them and heal them by the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. He is the King of kings. He
is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, He is the King. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now, as you walk on in your walk of victory, remember where a soul tie could have get in. And it's a way to live. It's not a one-shot deal. It's a process of overcoming. And, Lord, we ask You to bless this food. We ask You to purify it, sanctify it. Thank You for it. Thank You for every worker here at Lake Hamilton. We ask You to strengthen them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anybody wants special prayer, then I'll pray for you, and maybe I can get Carla to help me. Okay?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.